It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Here we go. Alex White, Greg Sinero, live from the Golden Circle here in Treasure Island. Another hour with you. Looking forward to this hour. We've got a lot to talk about, and I'm going to start it off with baseball. I don't know if you saw this. Otani, his dog, threw out a first pitch. And it was on bobblehead night, and Otani also hit a home run.
He did.
And people are going crazy over these bobbleheads. Have you seen the price of them already on eBay?
Somebody at work had one that they said was worth a bunch of money. I don't remember how long ago it was, but yeah, they had like two of them, and it was worth a million. It might have been Chapman. Says he has like two of them.
Wow.
But what are they going for online? I heard it was like a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. So there was 1,700 gold ones, I believe.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. So they had...
$1,700?
No, at least.
Really?
But because they had a bunch of bobbleheads, but there was a amount that I believe because of his number 17. So I think it's 1,700 of them were gold.
I see.
Of the thousands that they gave out. If you got a gold one, then you could sell that for a lot of money on eBay.
Wow. All right, next step is we got to find out where Chapman keeps these. Hopefully somewhere at work.
And hopefully he got a gold one.
Dude, can I say something, though?
Yes.
I love dogs, and I'm a dog fan, and I like Otani. He's great. He might be the first 50-50 player ever. His dog didn't throw out a first pitch. His dog picked up the ball. Speaking of Chapman, he did the same thing Chapman did. He stood in front of the mound and threw it. This dog didn't even do that. I'll give Chapman's pitch was way better than this dog's. This dog picked up the ball and walked it to home plate. How was that throwing out a first pitch? That dog is a complete fraud. I'm sorry. It really is. That's ridiculous.
I mean, he got it to home plate, so.
That is not a pitch. If you just pick it up, if I just pick up a ball with my mouth and then just drop it off to somebody, that's not a pitch. That's ridiculous. You know what dog's better? I saw a dog the other day that was supposed to pick up a bat. It was a bat dog.
I saw that.
And instead of picking up the bat, it just ran up and, like, dropped one out there by, like, second base. Way better than this dog that just rolled the ball and didn't even roll it. If he had rolled it with his nose, I'd have been like, okay, that's cool because he's, like, you know, he doesn't have opposable thumbs like us and stuff. So maybe, like,
good. Yeah,
it'd be all right. But he didn't even do that. He picked it up and just brought it over. I mean, every dog plays fetch. Wow, cool dog, Otani. Such a special dog. I'm sorry I'm going off on this, but it's like a total fraud.
What do you think about his name? Who names their dog Decoy?
A guy that actually has a decoy that places bets for him? Right? That's the first thing I thought of.
I didn't say it.
I mean, allegedly, okay, whatever. Sue me for my PlayStation, who cares? But, yeah, I mean, I feel like Decoy, where else would he get the name? It's almost like he's just, like, kind of, you know, throwing it in everybody's face.
It's the American name for the Japanese name that he actually gave the dog.
Oh, so it means Decoy in Japanese?
I got to find what the actual name is. No, it means something else in Japanese.
Oh,
but then he just changed it and said decoy's easier for Americans to understand and to say. But
So his dog had a name and he just changed it so it was easier to say?
It starts with D. It's very similar. It's just, yeah.
So not only does he not throw out a pitch, though they say he threw out a pitch, it's not even his real name. This dog is the biggest fraud. Is this dog even, what is this dog? Is this even a real dog? Does he even have a dog? Does Otani even own a dog?
I just made it so much worse.
I mean, do we even know at this point? This guy lie about everything? He probably doesn't, and I'm sorry. I'm not, like, giving, you know, allegedly, okay? I'm not saying he does, but come on, man.
He's really good at this baseball thing, though.
You know, you brought up this thing about the there's an investment here that the Dodgers are going to make. $5 billion off a $700 million investment. What is this?
I don't know.
Jared, tell us.
What? What? I have no idea. This was not one of my topics.
Really? Who put that on there?
Probably the guy who got stuck on a tarmac.
Oh, good. Steve Cofield's here. Steve, what do you think? Oh, wait. No. All right. I don't know what that is, but apparently.
I'll read the article. You guys vamp.
I mean, there's no article there either, though. It's just like a line of text that says that the Dodgers are, I wish I invested. I know a lady put a $5 bet in, and I hate her. So I guess I hate the Dodgers now for making $5 billion off a $700 million investment. Maybe somebody bought the team? I don't know. Who knows? Do you have one of those? Have you ever got a bobblehead at a game? Do you like those?
Yeah. I have a few bobbleheads, actually.
Would you go to a game just because they're giving something away?
Probably not. But I also work a lot of games and events, so.
I did that once.
You went just for a bobblehead.
I actually went to a Yankee game because they were giving out Mariano Rivera special hats, and they had, like, his save record, you know, whatever it was on there, some kind of record thing, like patch on the side of the hat. And I was excited, so I went to the game and got it. And it was like a game on a Tuesday with seven people there, and like I paid $47 for a hot dog. So I kind of wish I didn't go, but I got the free hat.
I think a hat is better than like a bobblehead or something that's just going to sit on your desk, right?
Yeah.
And take up space. Like a hat, you can wear it. Do you still have the hat?
I do have the hat. It's very dirty and in a box somewhere, but I do have it. And then you know what, though? It wasn't even like I'm total snob, a hat snob. Like I want like a fitted hat that has like, you know, the right brand, and that's like the original, you know, the OG stuff.
Right.
And like it was like a stupid hat where like you put the thing on the back and it like has a little, you know, what are those things called where you like strap the back of the hat? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got like little holes in it and the buttons.
Yeah.
Like and then it looks stupid because like
snapback.
There you go. Is that what they call it? A snapback?
It's a back that has snaps. Yes, I believe that is what it is called.
All right. Well, my snapback was like on the last hole. It was super embarrassing because the hat was so small. So like I had this flat hat on. The snapback is like all the way on its last life. Like it looked like somebody fell off a cliff and they were holding his hand trying to get him back. It was like my hat staying on. The whole thing was sad, but whatever. You know what else I hate?
What's that?
I'm just kidding. I've been going on a rant all day.
What is with you today? It's the Friday before Labor Day, and you're just like...
I'm fired up, man. I got a weekend coming up, and I'm just fired up. Plus, like, when I get, like, agitated and anxiety because I don't know what's going on, I get even more fired up, and I have no idea what's going on today. So I'll tell you this. Aaron Judge, Yankee, speaking of the Yankees, having one of the best statistical years I can remember. He's having an amazing year right now. Stephen A. Smith, who I'll be careful because he does work for ESPN, but Stephen A. Smith gave his genius opinion on this, saying that Aaron Judge's numbers are inflated because Juan Soto is batting behind him and they're pitching around him. Only problem with that is Soto's batted in front of Judge almost the entire year.
Yes.
Incredible take, Stephen A. Smith. That's amazing.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's just so silly. But you know what it is? They have to come up with content just like we do, and we don't, you know, yes. And sometimes I have no idea what I'm talking about. I think they just came up with the topic and just started talking, and somebody probably gave him that information, and he didn't check it or something.
That's
because
true.
Otherwise it looks like a ridiculous comment. I don't ask you this, by the way, because Steve and I were talking about this last week. So Otani might be the first 50-50 guy. Judge might hit 65 home runs. He's on pace to hit like 65, something like that. What do you think would be more impressive? Judge breaking his own record, his AL record, which, again, Barry Bonds has the real one. People are going to cry about it. Go ahead. But if he breaks his own record, is that better than the 50-50 that Otani gets?
I think this is a little old school, and I should probably let it go. But the fact that Otani is the DH kind of weighs on me, so I would go with Aaron Judge. And that's weird, and I think I should let it go. But even like being in the MVP conversation, I remember when DHs really weren't.
Dude, I totally agree. I'm so glad you said this. Because David Ortiz, Big Poppy, is in the Hall of Fame. Not only did he's in the Hall of Fame because he's nice to the media. That's it. That's the only reason, because they like him. His name Big Poppy, and he's fun and all that stuff. He never played the field ever. He was the only one out of these guys that they keep kicking out of the Hall of Fame or keeping out of the Hall of Fame that actually tested for something that he wasn't supposed to. And somehow he's in the Hall of Fame, and he was a DH. So I totally agree with you. I also want to ask you about, you are excited about a game coming up in the WNBA.
Yes.
That is happening right either now or coming up right soon.
Let me see. It might actually have already started. Let's see.
And it goes into the conversation we had earlier about Rookie of the Year. So what are you looking forward to?
So it is going on right now. This is the fourth time Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky have met. This is the most expensive WNBA game in history as of right now. Some of the courtside seats were like $1,000.
Angel Reese effect. I'm totally joking.
But this, to get in that game costs more than the opening game for the Chicago Bulls, which is quite fascinating.
Really?
And that is how well WNBA is doing right now. But yeah, I mean, fourth time these two are playing each other. Indiana won two of the three so far. And
do we have a current score?
It is 40-33 Fever.
Wow. Yeah, see, the Fever have actually been winning games.
They have been playing very good.
I think that goes a long way. Again, I know I hate the win total thing as an individual stat, but how can you argue with success if the Fever are doing this well? Do you think that going into next season, the Fever are going to look like to go over do their whole coaching staff over again? Because everybody's giving Chrissy Side so much crap.
I don't think so. Not now.
I mean,
I thought that before the break.
Right.
But now I don't think they would change anything now.
Sorry, go ahead.
They would be pretty low on the board, close to a favorite coming in next year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if they, let's say they make the playoffs this year, what do you think their chances are of going? How deep can they go?
So I gotta check if it's best out of three, best out of five to start the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or if it's, you know, like the other sports where you add more games as you get deeper in. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think very far. I've got New York and then Minnesota Lynx, then the Aces. The Aces still need to figure some things out as well.
Yeah, that's one that I thought they were going to come out of the break like gangbusters, and they just have not.
No, it's kind of been the opposite for them.
Yeah.
They've really struggled out of the break. So, I mean, I think the Fever could win a series, but I don't know about it.
You don't know about, you know, going any further than that. I feel like, do you think it hurts them to actually win now? Because they would have had a better shot of getting probably better players, you know what I mean, if they were a worse team going in. But if they make the playoffs now and have, you know, and they're like considered a decent team, I guess they could always, you know, trades, yeah, free, whatever, free agency, because people are going to want to play with Angel Clark. I mean, Angel Clark. With Caitlin Clark,
now you
know.
Just mixed them.
Yeah, I know. Might as well at this point, right? That's what everybody talks about. But, all right, so college betting. You're very much into college betting. When people talk about Colorado and Coach Prime and all this stuff, how do you see, like, well, first of all, their win total, I don't even know what it is. You probably know better than I. But let's say they don't hit that, or they barely hit it, or they go just barely over. Are we looking at a part where it starts to be that Coach Prime's on the hot seat?
No.
No.
It'll have to be his decision, right?
Well, it's just so much bluster, and then I feel like you have – if you're going to – I have no problem with that. Like, if you're going to go out there and talk – like, I love Edwards. Anthony Edwards is one of my favorite players because he never shuts up, and he's always cocky and talks, and I think it's great because he goes out there and he kicks ass. You know, he succeeds. But if you talk like that and then you come out and you don't do well, doesn't it make you look worse?
How many players did you know on Colorado – Buffalo before Deion Sanders got there?
Zero.
How many do you know now?
Like at least six.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if they really care so much about the wins and how they're doing as much as the publicity. They were on ESPN last night. There was three games going on, but Colorado was the ESPN game against North Dakota State. It wasn't even like they were playing a really big school. So, yeah, I think he's brought so much attention and done so much more for this program than just the wins, but they got to get it figured out. I mean, I saw his presser talking about, don't worry about the run game. Did you see our passing game?
Right.
That wasn't the best comment. It's like, yeah, your son is the quarterback. We know that's what you're focusing on. But
exactly.
We got to focus on the whole team here.
Nobody cares about the parents, but if I had a kid and he was going to that school, I don't know, man. I would be like, it just seems like the guy is all in it for himself and his family and not doesn't really care. But I guess if it works – and they get players they wouldn't have gotten without him there. I don't know. Maybe the college is super into it. We're talking about NFL earlier in Aiyuk. And, again, this is one of those stories that was going on and on and on. And what made it worse was that Aiyuk was posting, you know, clips of the Redskins – or, I'm sorry, the Commanders practice. I should say the R words. Practice. And he was talking about, you know, he wants to play with Jaden Daniels, posting things, blah, blah, blah. At this point, he wound up accepting the same deal he would have gotten anyway if he had just done it in the beginning.
I know.
I mean, how ridiculous is that?
The exact same deal.
Yeah. Is that – I mean, does he feel stupid?
I don't know. And the weird part is it's like we all kind of knew because you are on a Super Bowl contending team right now.
Right.
Who just played in the Super Bowl. Ultimately, that's what all these players want. Of course, to make the most money they can, but to also win – so we kind of knew this was going to happen.
I think some of it, or a lot of it, is looking in other people's pockets. I think guys see other guys make more money than them. Like, even if it's just a million or, you know,
right.
I say just a million, but even if it's like, you know, to them, that's not amazing. If you make $120 million, $1 million, not that big of a deal over that time. But to them, I think it's like a respect thing maybe where they feel like, you know, I have to make more than this particular guy or else I'm going to be mad. Because I can't think of any other reason why he wouldn't have just taken the $120 million to begin with. If he was going to make this big mess. And now the Niners are stuck with him pretty much too because it's guaranteed. So if he acts like this again, I mean, I guess they could trade him or something. But I don't know. I don't even know if I – would you have done this deal if you're the Niners?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I have him – I would say he's top seven. He's in that top seven category for wide receivers, wouldn't you?
I guess.
I don't know. That might be pushing it a little bit.
I mean, I don't – you know, look, that offense is so hard to tell because – you pretty much plug anybody in there, and their numbers are, you know, ridiculous. McCaffrey obviously is a Swiss Army knife robot slash, you know, amazing.
So everything. Is Debo.
And Debo, you're right. Yeah, exactly. So I mean that, and that offense in general, just the way it's set up. I know from watching the Eagles play them, there's guys like just running a little open over the field. I'm having a, you know, a heart attack. Like, oh my god, the guy's wide open. Oh my god, you know, like, we're hoping that Purdy doesn't find the guy wide open. So, I mean, they scheme people open. I don't know, man. I mean, there's so many good players in this league. I just feel like, and maybe I'm just an old man, but like once somebody starts causing problems, I'll be like, hey, get out of here. I don't even care. I just be like, you're out. Goodbye.
I think that's a good philosophy to have, especially in this day and age with players demanding so much, not only in the professional but college.
Yeah.
Like just in general, if you want to have control over your team, you kind of have to set that precedence.
How do you feel about the Raiders this season, knowing that, let's say their defense is, we think it's going to be pretty good. Minshew, I mean, okay, he's not elite, but, you know, I know Jared likes him. He's a good player, I'd say. He's a good player.
I'm a Minshew fan.
Okay, so he's good. I think their skill, you know, their skill positions are good. I think Brock is going to, if his foot, I don't know what's going on with his foot, but if the tight end, if Brock is good, I feel like he's going to be amazing. Do you think the Raiders could surprise some people? Because I keep telling everybody to go over, and everybody's telling me I'm crazy.
Why can't they? Okay, so Minshew stepped in for Anthony Davidson last Anthony Richardson last year.
I do it all the time.
After just four games,
right.
And they almost made it to the playoffs. I think he can step into this offense. You've got Adams. You've got Jacoby Myers. And then, like you're saying, I mean, they took tight ends with their first pick the last 2 years.
I know.
So they've got two guys there.
Yeah.
They've definitely have the weapons around him to be successful. And, yes, I do think their defense is going to get even better than they were last year.
And another thing about the Raiders is we keep talking about the division and people, you know, I don't know why people are on the Chargers every single year. They're like, the Chargers, Chargers, oh, sleeper team, Chargers. Until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. So I don't even think they're a great team. The Broncos, we have no idea. So, I mean, I think the Raiders could pick up three, four wins in the division, even if they have a little hot streak. And their beginning of their schedule is a little tough, but there's a couple in the middle I think that are okay. I don't know, man. I see them as a 9-win team, but that's me.
I think it's right there.
Right?
8-9.
James is making faces at me. He's not feeling it.
8-9. The thing that scares me with the Chargers is they did get some potentially really good wide receivers for Herbert to throw the ball to. So at first glance, we saw them get rid of all of their weapons, right? Keenan
right.
Allen, they just kind of started fresh. But I don't know. Harbaugh might have moved in the right direction, starting new,
yeah,
getting young blood in there. And we know that Justin Herbert's, his ceiling is very high.
Is it, though? Like, okay, I like it. Like, his tools-wise.
Yes.
I feel like the guy could throw the ball out of the stadium. I mean, he's like a giant dude. He can see over the line. But, like, what have the Chargers done to, like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like certain teams, people just assume they're going to suck, and then certain teams, people just assume they're going to be good. It feels like the Chargers get the benefit of the doubt every year, and I haven't seen them do anything.
That's because we haven't seen them without Coach Stanley in a long time, so everybody's very excited.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Harbaugh coming, I guess, definitely helps. That's not a bad thing at all. He's won in this league, but. Well, Jared, you don't like him?
No, I just think that he has a pattern of behavior with quarterbacks where, I mean, you're talking about the same Harbaugh that made fun of Peyton Manning because he couldn't throw hard, the same Peyton Manning that then threw 50 touchdowns for the Broncos.
Right.
The guy who benched yeah. Alex Smith because Alex Smith couldn't throw hard for Colin Kaepernick. That kind of worked out, but basically after telling the media, no, Alex is concussed, I would never start some, you know, he's got his job back and then didn't, like, give him his job back. The same Harbaugh that when was available to coach the Colts, Andrew Luck said, no, I would prefer anyone else.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because I remember Harbaugh as a player, too. I actually lived in Indiana for a little bit. Famously, I had a warrant there for a long time. But Now I'm going to say something wrong, but he did something to a reporter there that was like super funny, gross, and mean at the same time. When I lived there, I forget what it was, but yeah, he's always been kind of a cantankerous guy. I feel like if anything, the most likely scenario is like he succeeds for 2 or 3 years, wears out his welcome, and then leaves again. And that's kind of what I'm seeing.
He was at Michigan for quite some time.
Yeah, then what happened?
Now, to build it
now,
up.
Now he left, and they're in shambles because they had a scandal.
National championship, I'm out.
That's right.
We'll look up what happened when he was a player while we take our next
break. I'm going to check that out because I always just throw things out there that are stupid and I shouldn't, and I forget what I'm saying. So I'll make sure what it was, but he definitely did something. I promise.
Somebody is on our stream here right now, though. Should we take a quick break and then we can welcome him back in with us?
Oh, look at this. Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going to go to break. We'll come back. And we have a very special guest that you've never heard before on this show.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook inside the TI, it's Cofield and Company.
How about a little threesome? This booth, we could do some damage. On the golf course, I mean, O2.
Alex to bring it back. Oh my God. What has happened for the last 90 minutes since I've been on the road? What's going on, Alex? What's
up, Greg? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in H-Town. I have a brooding look on our video system. How has the TI been today?
Good. Excellent. Very good. We've been teasing that we had you coming on, so we're very excited to have join us. But we understand what traveling is like.
You know, it's funny, it almost never happens with the football program. And, they just had some, nothing serious, just, you know, you get to the airport and sometimes they just won't let you take off or you sit on the tarmac forever. So it happened on both ends. And now they're on the ground. And I'm telling you, I think I jinxed it, Greg, because I swear I went into the Monday press conference with Barry Odom and he talked a little bit about, they have 55 newcomers and there's probably like 30 new guys who are on the travel squad. He's like, well, you know, this is not the way he speaks, but you're kind of teaching guys about how you do this whole regimen when you travel, because every school is a little bit different. And I was like, man, that's a great angle. And I asked like 3 follow-ups on it, and he talked about it for like 8 minutes on the travel and being precise, and everything's got to be in order, and sleep is important, and, you know, it's all scheduled out. And then I'm like, oh, my God. I put the kibosh on the whole freaking thing.
Hey, man, it happens. It's not your fault, though. It wasn't like you could have controlled anything, you know.
So I don't want to come in here, like, all blustery, because I'm going to be followed in, like, 12 minutes. Not that I'm leaving, but Adam Hill's going to come on. Were you guys really just bouncing around high hopes for the Raiders, and you were offering a number of over-under 9 wins? Is that what
yes.
I heard?
Yes, it is.
I think they're going to win 9 games this year. That's my take.
Same for you, Alex?
I said 8. I got to go look at the actual schedule.
Oh, no. Don't back down. You're like the best.
I say 8. Okay, 8. 8.
So Alex has 8. Salerno has 9. Let's see what Adam Hill comes in with.
Okay.
But on Greg's 9, I will take the under.
You're going to lose.
Possibly. I don't know how much you guys got into, I think, one of the stories of the day, and that was Colorado last night and all the excitement about around Coach Prime.
Not too much, a little bit.
We
with
did
their guest, but
well, we were talking more about the Travis Hunter thing.
Oh,
that he might be. You know, I think it was RG3 that said he might play cornerback and wide receiver in the NFL, starting at both positions.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's impossible. I mean, I know he's good and everything. I just don't think at an NFL level anyone's going to be able to do that. But yeah, as far as Coach Prime, no, we haven't got into much.
Yeah, I saw a former. He might be on a roster. Let me look him up. But I saw an NFL cornerback basically say, like, nah, dude, like, it ain't boys up here. You're not playing both.
Yeah.
There's going to be a healthy pushback on that.
One of them was C.J. Gardner-Johnson from the
Eagles.
That's
what it was. Yeah.
I saw
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it was him. Yeah, I kind of agree with him. But I do think that Travis Hunter is outstanding. I think he's awesome. I think he's virtually guaranteed to be a first-round pick unless there's some severe injury. I did make a bet earlier today. Did we have Chad Anderson? Man, I was in
yes.
transit for so long. So did Chad mention that I made a bet with him?
No.
Based on what I saw last night and the way I think Deion Sanders will handle and behave 7 or 8 losses this year, because they are going to lose 7 or 8, I bet him that Shedeur Sanders won't be a first-round pick.
Ooh.
Oh, interesting. I don't know, man. I feel like just on name alone, somebody's going to do that, though.
Are they? What do you think, Alex?
I think so, too.
Really?
What did we just see with basketball and LeBron?
Well, he was in the second round. Though.
Exactly. Thank you. I'll take that. I'll take 58th pick in the draft.
Right.
No, I mean,
it's a little different, though, because he wasn't supposed to be in the second round.
Right.
Right? Or wasn't supposed to be drafted. So it's kind of the same as him jumping up to one. I don't know. That's tough. That's a good bet.
Well, it's a good bet right now from a perception point standpoint for Chad, because I think everyone in the world believes Shador is going to be a first round. I'm actually taking a massive dog. I should have got a price on it.
Yes.
I have the over under at 32.5. We're going to get to Adam Hill in about 10 minutes. What I saw last night in the game was a team that kind of looked the same as it did a year ago, and that is a team where Shador can throw it all over the yard. He's got good receivers. Obviously, Hunter's awesome. They play a lot of playground, kind of schoolyard football where things break down and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose for the defense. But that was also an FCS team, and I think Shador is good, but I think how Deion and Shador handle the rest of the season if things aren't going well is going to put an impression on NFL personnel people, and I'm not sure it's going to be a good one.
Do you think, Steve, that – and we talked about this a little bit earlier – is there a point when the bluster becomes more than the wins, and then it becomes like Sanders might not be there anymore type situation, hot seat situation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, look at what he set up locally, and I don't think it's going to be the local people who are going to, you know, bust his chops, because he kind of, I'll put this in a weird way that I don't like, but he kind of put them in their place and struck some fear into them, because they know anytime they ask him a question that he might not like, he's going to go on some diatribe and use a word salad to put you in the corner. But what he's done is kind of put a target on his back. The whole Deion thing's fascinating because, one, he's great for college football. Last night's game got, like, a peak on a Thursday night of, like, 5.8 million viewers. I think it's the highest Thursday game in forever. So he's great for college football. And he's definitely – he's a hero for some and a villain for others. But here's the thing. You have to deliver. And last year – they really faded badly. They went 4-8, and then this year it's like, oh, we were building towards this year. Like, I'm going to remember what happened this year, this talking last year, and I'm going to get you this next year. And it's like the team, and I don't go off of one game, but they kind of play the same football where they're not great on the defensive line. They're not great on the offensive line. They couldn't run the ball at all. So Shador is going to put up, like, I don't know, what's he going to average? He might average 370 yards per game. So what's that over, you know, 12 games? We're looking at over 4,000 yards. His number is going to be awesome, but I don't think you can win in college football without being able to stop the run and never being able to run the ball. What do you think, Alex?
For having so many former pros on the coaching staff and helping out and being around there, why do they lack so much discipline? And just the, I don't know, what we're used to seeing in college football. And because
right?
When you say backyard football, that's exactly what it looked like last night, too.
I mean, Johnny Manziel got away with it, right? And it worked, and he got himself drafted, so maybe I made a bad bet, but I just... The thing is, when I watch NFL people, like, we got a really good look at it with more behind-the-scenes stuff at the Combine and the Giants reality show and Hard Knocks, Greg, where
yeah.
You see, like, how they're lunatics in judging these kids. And I can only imagine how much they're going to try to slice and dice Shador, and then his dad's involved. And I think a lot of teams, and maybe our local team is going to be the team that goes, hey, we need something. You know, we're sitting at the 13th pick, and gee damn, we gotta roll the dice. But I think a lot of teams are just going to look at him and go, you know what, it's not worth it, man. If we're gonna, you make a pick, a number, you know, you take a quarterback with a number one pick, like, it has to freaking work out. It is risky, and it, like, you miss on those picks, it sets you back for like 5 years.
Yeah, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, even in Little League, when there's like that coach's son or that guy that has a dad that's really annoying, and they're like, well, that kid's good, but if he's in our team, the dad comes with him, and it's going to be super annoying at the games, or he's going to say something in the media, or he's going to, you know, somehow say something about us. I would stay away from it too, probably. I mean, unless, you know, I'm a team in need and he's in the second round or something like that.
Yeah. Well, but then there is the flip side, that someone is always so desperate for a quarterback, so titillated, and if no one else really emerges this year as a QB, they might just say, hey, I mean, they could also look at – there could be some organizations that look at it like, hey, if he works, he works. If he doesn't, we're going to sell a crap ton of tickets, so let's make some – I mean, there are owners who are like, whatever. I want to win, but I also want to make a lot of money and sell tickets. So that could save him. And then there's the other one. Who said it this morning? I forgot, one of the analysts on ESPN said, there's a better shot that Shador Sanders is the Cowboys quarterback next year than Dak Prescott.
Wow. I don't know about all that, man. No, I don't know, dude. I feel like, because, you know, we talked about how, like, we keep talking about these deals, and then they wind up getting done right before the season anyway. Like, now I think Trent Williams' watch is going on with the 49ers.
Yeah.
But don't you think that Dak's going to get done at some point? I mean, I think we're going to I've wasted all this time, you know, wondering about Dak. Is he coming to the Raiders? All this stuff. I feel like it's going to get done.
What do you think, Alex?
I'm not on that side.
No?
No, I don't.
You don't think they're going to want to put a long-term? Why? Because of the playoff non-success?
Or? I think it's a mutual one separation. I think it will be a mutual separation at the end of this year. Of just like, hey, it might be best for both of us if we
right
go separate ways.
Well, if you look at Dak's comments, it kind of looked like he's almost like upset with the – like they don't have the faith in him he wants, and he's kind of like sad about it more than he is – I mean, angry, you know.
He goes through this every year. Right. Even when he's under contract with some length on it, Jerry goes on local radio and questions him. And, like, at some point, if he can get through the season healthy and he holds all the cards and he can make $65 million a year for another organization, then all of Jerry's games over the year, I think, are going to come back and bite him. And, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we've all worked for employers. I know Jared, certainly, not in his current situation, where you're like, you know what, I'm not loyal to my employer. When I get a chance to leave, I am leaving. Right, Jared?
Why do I get pulled in on that?
Oh, it's just a guess.
What? I'm loyal to a fault, like almost stupidly.
Oh, there you go. I wanted you to admit that. All right, we're taking time.
Like making bad decisions for my life in order to keep my job at Wendy's.
Well, you've succeeded. Congratulations on all of this. We got two people on the ground in Houston. Alex and Greg are at TI Golden Circle on a football Friday. Up next, have you guys gotten food? Did you get some food items?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, you thought I was going to break, and you're like, okay, time to order.
Yep.
I will mention that on Sunday I'm going to be at Whiskey Stadium. It's another big Modelo blowout before the USC-LSU game. It's for the Modelo Vegas Kickoff Classic, and they're going to have a bunch of Modelo specials and, you know, big crowds over there at Whiskey Stadium on Polaris, right across the street from Allegiant Stadium. ESPN Las Vegas will be on the scene. Up next, we go to somewhere else in H-Town, and Adam Hill is getting ready for the UNLV game tomorrow as well.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Put your hand in there, dude.
It's a different kind of grab bag. We reach in, we pull out the big fella. He's somewhere around H-Town. Greg Salerno, Alex White, Cofield on the ground here in Houston. I can't say Houston properly. Adam, where are you?
I'm at I'm right by the airport, actually. It's a nice little Marriott. It's very fancy. Still there? You got me?
Yeah, we got you. I'm just shocked. Yeah. I thought you'd be out and about. I thought you'd be walking in the bowels of the Astro Stadium to talk to us. Well, what's going on? Is responsible Adam Hill on the road?
Usually I am, and then I get yelled at for being somewhere loud, and then you can't hear me on the phone. So I was like, all right, I'm going to stay at the hotel now. And we've got some UNLV family members here at the hotel, staying in the lobby, and waiting for their family to come in for the play for the Rebels and getting ready for the game tomorrow.
I'm going to put you right on the griddle. Greg Salerno was just bellowing to open this hour. I was listening. I pop on. Greg is offering a total of 9 on the Raiders, and we'll take all comers on the under.
Oh, I mean, why wouldn't he?
Thank you.
No, no, no. He wants the 9 and the over. He's looking for action against him. So I took it.
Wait, he wants people to bet the over?
No, he wants people to bet the under. He's got 9. Yeah,
of course. And then he can take every cent he can on the under and then go bet it over at the book 6.5.
He doesn't know betting. Why'd you tell him that?
That's brilliant, though. That seems like a good idea.
There you go, Greg. You're covered.
You know what? I do know, and I was actually typing that out right as before Adam said it. that's exactly what I was going to do. So, Adam, honestly, dude, you don't think that because I know you're high on the – I mean, I don't want to say high on them, but I know you're higher on them than most. Don't you think they're going to have a good year?
What?
No?
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I thought last time we talked that you were. Maybe I just made that up.
I think you're being nice.
I think you're making that up. I don't think that's true. I think the number's right probably where it should be. I think they're – probably a 7-8 win team at the most.
Like I said, Adam agrees with me, see?
Not really. No, not really. Adam, on the UNLV game tomorrow, we can talk about expectations. Two statements we wanted to throw at you. What seems more outlandish? Tony Cordasco said this offense cannot be stopped and the Go-Go will average 40 points a game. Or Tyler Bischoff said the Rebels will finish 6-6.
I mean, traditionally, I think if you look at most college football programs and take the fact that we follow UNLV closely out of it and the fact that, you know, we're paying so much attention to what they're doing and everything else, like, I think traditionally you would expect a team that did what UNLV did last year to finish 6-6 this year. I mean, that's just what history tells us will happen. A team defies expectations and, you know, soars to new heights. The next year, they're going to fall back to earth. I mean, that traditionally, you see that time and time again all over the country. Now, I think this is different because, obviously, UNLV is not in, you know, a power conference where they're going to have that much, you know, difficult roads ahead and, like, not playing the SEC, something like that. But and we pay attention. We know what they did in the recruiting class. We know what Barry Odom has done to turn this thing around. So I don't think that they're the typical story for teams that did what UNLV did last year. So I do think they're going to be a little bit better than that. I don't know if 40 points a game is realistic, but I think it's going to be a good season. I think there's every reason for people to be excited about this.
I've been talking about that, too. I'm pretty excited. It's the first time I've ever been excited about UNLV football season, honestly, since I've been here. Do you think – let's say they don't have the season we hope. I think they will, but let's say they don't have the season we hope. What's the biggest reason? Is it the defense? Is it the back end of the defense? Like, what is it?
Well, I think it's expectations, really, right? I mean, it's tough when people believe that you're going to be good. Like, last year they had the benefit of nobody believing in them. They had the benefit of people laughing when they were picked to finish first by one media member. I mean, that's kind of where this program was just a year ago. And now if people are saying it's going to be a disappointment if they're not in the top two. Like, that's a completely different scenario, and it's tough to maintain those kind of standards, but I think that's the biggest thing standing in their way right now.
Adam, let's talk about the game that you are there for, UNLV at Houston. Houston gets a new coach with Willie Fritz, and we know Donovan Smith pretty well, Gorman guy from Vegas. How do you think this game's going to go? Houston, 3-point favorite, but now down to 2.5, so better to do like that key number of 3. Do you think they cover, and do you think they could pull off the upset?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd really be an upset. I think the proper number is probably pick 'em, which we saw up on the board a little bit. Look, it's a Big 12 road game. Like, that's a really difficult thing to do if you're a Mountain West team, but it's the right Big 12 team to try to play on the road for sure. There's a lot of rebuilding going on, a ton of new players, a new coach, everything else that's going on here. And I do think one factor, if people are wondering, you know, what the, you know, expectations maybe are here crowd-wise, I mean, I do expect a pretty big crowd. I think it's going to be somewhat intimidating. But I just checked this out about a half hour ago. Just I was like, hey, I wonder what kind of interest they have. I mean, are tickets, like, impossible to get? Somebody have to pay, like, $200, $300 to get in tomorrow? No. Tickets on StubHub for tomorrow, $2.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not shocked. I will say I was a little shocked yesterday. We had on Jeremy Branham, who does the sidelines for the Cougars, and he said it would be 80% full. I don't know about that. Certainly not if you're checking the secondary market and there's $2 tickets. I'll just finish up by saying I think the Cougars fight the same battle that the Rebels do. If they don't win at the highest level in a town with lots of other stuff, then they fall by the wayside and they're kind of, you know, sport number 7 or 8 here, Adam.
Yeah, I think so. But I just thought, like, you know, with the excitement of a new coach, that sort of thing, first game of the season, I guess it's not a marquee opponent. You know, we believe what UNLV is, but it's not a marquee opponent to bring in. There's all those factors that go into it, and I don't think the expectations are very high. They very well could be the worst team in the conference. So, I think that those are all factors. I was certainly a little bit surprised. Stadium that seats 40,000, I thought it'd be a little tougher to get in. But, hey, if it's 80% full, maybe it's because people last minute decided to jump in and buy some tickets for $2.
Sure. What do you think will happen at quarterback for the Rebels?
I mean, I feel like it's trending in a direction that is somewhat obvious, and I don't want to. I'm gonna go ahead and predict that it's Matthew Sluka that's playing quarterback tomorrow. I think that would be my, you know, if I had to bet on this right now, that's probably the way I would go. But I think they've got good choices to make. I think usually when you say you have two quarterbacks, you have none, or if you have three quarterbacks, you really have none. But I think they do have good options, and I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think it's a disaster no matter who's playing.
I'm going to ask a dumb question because I should know this, but I don't really track your life, and I can't remember anything further back than yesterday unless someone burned me and I never forget it.
Sure.
What's the last time you covered a big UNLV game on the road, not the bowl game? Was it at the end of last year at some point?
No, because Raiders, the schedule didn't line up. I mean, it lines up, obviously, this week where the Raiders are off, and I can come to this. But, yeah, it's been a while.
Are you going to write a column on UNLV, depending on what happens?
There's not really enough time, deadline-wise.
Mm.
So probably not. We also do have a columnist here, though. So Ed Graney's here. So there will be a column. It just won't be mine.
The bigger
story, Steve, is I'm trying to talk Mike Gamala into trying a 72-ounce steak challenge.
Sure.
I mean, I think that could work.
Can he eat any more today? I saw him actually with a barbecue platter that I don't think was from a chain joint. I was shocked.
Well, we forced him into that.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where did he go? Where'd you guys go?
It was like a real like mom and pop place right over by the airport. It was actually pretty good. Kind of like a hole in the wall type. It was a big spot, but kind of a rundown, kind of grimy. That's what you want.
It's 2,200 miles away from Vegas. Greg, you can tell him. Yeah. You can give him a free pop. You can promote them. Come on.
Who?
Who was it? What was the name of the place?
It was like Central Texas Barbecue or something like that.
Sounds good.
Oh.
Yeah. Sounds authentic.
It's one of those spots where the order comes out and thanks you for eating there.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. That's good.
Were you uncomfortable with that?
Yeah, I didn't love it.
It's too friendly.
Why are you being nice to me? Hey, I got to ask you about this because you said Granny's there. Have you found what is the best chicken sandwich in Houston? Because I know Granny's going to find out by the time you guys come home.
I mean, I guess we'll have to ask him that. We're debating back and forth. Like I said, we're trying to get from all the 72-ounce steak challenge. Also, there's also a 4-pound hamburger challenge with a ton of french fries that we might try to talk Mike into.
Man.
So a lot of options.
Adam, chicken? I have no idea. I know you don't do spicy, and I don't know if Ed does, but there's a Miko's hot chicken.
Nah, I'm out. That's for Nashville.
Oh, really? You think that H-Town is appropriate Nashville cuisine?
I think so, yeah. Well, I did the hot one in Nashville where you have to sign a waiver, and it was the hottest of the hot ones.
Yep. How was it?
It was rough. Yes. It didn't go well, but I did do it. I mean, if you get it, why would you get hot chicken that's not the hottest that they make?
Because you couldn't eat it. I like it hot so I can enjoy it. Like, you don't have to torture yourself.
Nobody enjoys the hot chicken. You're doing it for the torture.
I don't agree with that.
Oh, no. I think it's just enough hot to be tasty, but not too hot where it ruins it. It's to me, anyway.
I guess I did it wrong.
You did it wrong, for sure. Yeah. All right, Adam. I may see you in town at some point, but it sounds like we've got a writer division between broadcasters. So you're kind of a broadcaster, but right now you're hanging with the enemy. So I'll see you when we get back to Vegas.
Sounds good.
There it is. It's very matter of fact, Alex. We're not going to see each other.
I was wondering why you guys hadn't seen each other already if you're both there.
Well, I just got here, so he's been here for a while.
But it sounded like you were counting on not seeing him at all.
I don't know where the man is most of the time.
Wow. Really?
He lives a crazy life. Very crazy life.
And you're down on the sideline, right?
Yes.
And then he's in the stands at the other
beat writers? He'll be upstairs. He'll be upstairs in the press box. And I may see him up there, but just kind of snarl at him and walk by him. I'm busy. Sorry, man. I'm busy.
Who gets better free food, you or Adam, from the press box down to the field? Because I know at the Super Bowl, there was definitely a hierarchy of free food from the media from where you were sitting.
Yeah. He's probably in better shape.
Yeah,
I don't mean that way, but he'll get the best fare. Hey, I want to remind people, and thanks again to Treasure Island and Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, and mostly thanks to Alex and Salerno for carrying the show, guys. That was awesome. I appreciate it. Sorry I got here a little later in the show. But I want to tell everyone, Rebels Home on the Road is over at Parkway Tavern. You got all the Parkway Taverns around town, including the one that hosts the Barry Odom Radio Show, 215 and Flamingo. So they've got $5, $6, and $7 drink specials on their game days. And the location on Decatur and Flamingo, have you guys been there yet? It used to be old Ricardo's.
Yeah, actually, I have been there.
That's a very good spot.
That one is
pretty rowdy at night. And our buddies from Naked City Pizza moved in there. They took over the kitchen. So if you like Naked City Pizza,
nice.
There's another spot you can go at Parkway Tavern on Flamingo and Decatur. All right, what's a pick on the game? Go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, while we're plugging stuff, you can come see me tonight over at Whiskey Stadium, right across the street from Allegiant Stadium. I'll be over there for the Homegrown Concert Series. Heroin Honey, the name of the band that's going to be headlining, sounds delicious and fun.
Very nice. Alex, you need to plug something now. What are you doing this weekend? What's coming up on Monday or Tuesday with South Point Studios? Come on now.
Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., yeah. South Point Studio. Go to YouTube and search Sports by the Book. You will find me. We're going to go through as many college football games as we can.
I love it. Jared, what do you got to promote? Come on.
I will be at the Golden Circle at the TI tomorrow from 9 to 11 with Danny.
The debut of the new show, Throw the Flag. They got breakfast items. We close it out with the Golden Circle Sports Book Bar. Yeah, get out there, watch a college football in the morning, and get your breakfast and your Bloody Marys and your Loco Moco. Oh, it's delicious at TI.